When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Don't raise tree just yet.
Sit down and strap in for the Ultimate Super Coach Podcast. It's time to win your leagues and dominate your mates.
This is the Jewel Position Podcast, hosted by Whisperer and Adrianosaurus.
Alrighty, the one that everyone has been waiting for. It's taken us a little bit of time to get this one done, but I think it's going to be definitely worth it in the long run. The position breakdowns, our bread and butter, what we're really going to focus on, hammer home. We've got a list of, 18 players here. All have their pros, all have their cons. I'm joined, if anyone's forgotten, because it's been a few minutes since we've recorded, joined by my wonderful co-host, Adrianosaurus. Mate, how has the team preparation been going? Because I think I've become the butt of all jokes amongst the Civic Coach creator community, because I'm changing mine every 5 seconds. Are you doing the same, but just not publicizing it as much?
Yeah, I don't generally publicize too much because I cover it on my podcast, where I sort of, every time I go in, I let them know my changes. I have had a few little accusatory messages from the punters saying, oh, you whisper copying. And I'm like, you know, you guys need to realize that we basically only touch base when we press record on the podcast. We don't discuss much about our teams. We just throw each other rumors like Matamu is training at 13. We don't actually discuss our teams too much. So if we talk about Supercoach a lot on the show or whatever, we might naturally absorb a little bit of each other, but we just go our own way. And if it lands the same, it lands the same.
Yeah, you and I talk pretty much every day. We just chat a lot of waffle, but we ever rarely talk Supercoach away from the camera. So I do think what you say has some merit. You know, we talk Supercoach behind a camera probably 4 or 5 hours a week. So it's, of course, our opinions are going to rub off on each other. But it's hugely, hugely happening. Just some housekeeping. We have a wonderful, wonderful sponsor, someone that I've worked pretty close with the last 4 years. The podcast this year is sponsored by Bet With Joel. Bet With Joel is Australia's most trusted, number one, most reliant and transparent sports investment service. Use code SCWLISTENER for 50% off the entire NBA season. I think we're halfway through it now, so definitely a good code there. And code SCWFREEWEEK for your first free week off all particular weekly subscriptions, www.betwithjoel.com. Jump over there, check it out. But moving into, I guess, hookers, it's funny because we all look for, it's one of the positions that, you know, it's probably one of the most consistent, but people still chase upside. And there's very, very few hookers that are going to give us consistency and upside. The way that we've broken down this podcast today is, like I said, I think we've got 18 names here. I've done one, you've done one, and sort of it flows, it ebbs and flows. So I guess I'll talk about the players that I've researched and you'll talk about the ones today. I've stitched you up here because I've given myself the probably best hooker prospect this year. It is Harry Grant. Now, look, we're going to break down price. We're going to break down ownership. We're going to break down last year's average, what we think there could be an average this year. Some draft stuff for you draft guys out there. Now, these notes are probably about 5 days old, so ownerships could be out ever so slightly, but you get a rough idea. And as I said, Harry Grant, right off the bat, 816K. At time of recording, 23.8% ownership, so basically one in every four teams has him. Last year, averaged 77.6. I've got him tipped at pushing 80. I've got him at 82.0. Now, pretty crucially, his buys are in round 9, 13, and 16. Draft, it's tough because I think if you're playing with captains, you can make merit for Grant going a little bit lower because he probably doesn't have the same upside. But if you're playing no captains, which, by the way, is the superior way to play draft, I've got him going sort of between 5 and 7. The pros with Harry Grant is that he's got through 12 months without, you know, any reoccurring hamstring injuries. We know that they can linger. So 12 months without any reoccurring hamstring injuries is fantastic. any threat of really any potential minutes for Grant losing have left with Brandon Smith leaving. He does have no buys as well during the Origin period. So if you're going to own Harry Grant for the back end of the season, not a worry. We know that the grand finals are generally a week before the season ends. So it shouldn't be too risk of, you know, rotation. Now, the issue that I'm finding with Grant Ado is, am I going to start with him? Probably. But it's looking like I'm going to have to flick him on about round 9, and we'll get onto that shortly. But I guess he does have a reduced average without Pappenhausen. Now, when is Pappenhausen going to be back? I think between now and the last time that we recorded, there's been some, I wouldn't say worrying, but not promising reports. I don't think he's going to be back for the first 8 weeks, probably. But that's just my gut feel. Now, as I said, round 9. So round 14, his match is 4 days after Origin 1. Round 14, 4 days after Origin 1, he won't play round 16. Round 18, the match is 3 days after Origin 2. Round 20, match 3 of Origin is 3 days after State of Origin. So from rounds 9 to 28, you basically only get 5 full games from Grant. So that's probably his biggest downside. For me, it's looking like a sell round 10. Or round 9, sorry, at the first buy, and then potentially pick him up for round 20 in those finals. But yeah, you can't really talk down about a guy who I've got pegged at 82 average.
No, you can't. And you've got to ask yourself that question is, you know, a lot of people are trying to take advantage of someone like a Boyd or a Cheese. They're deciding who they're going to go with out of Harry Grant or Hines. Do you reckon that could sway you with because if you have Hines, he's probably not going to go to Origin. You wouldn't think. Maybe he could.
Maybe he's 18th man, which would make it annoying for owners because obviously you see him not get picked and then he's 18th man. He's still stuck.
Yeah, but I mean, that could influence, because I mean, in my position, I've decided to go with Cheese and Boyd in my team. So I was deciding between Harry Grant and Hines. I decided that I wanted to hold Harry. So that could sway a few people. But look, I just, in that position, you put him in there, you never have to worry about it. I'll talk about Cook. I'm not keen on going Cook. I could be swayed into a Robson, possibly save a little bit of crumb, but I'd be lying if I said I haven't got Harry in my team, and I'll probably follow the same suit as you, is just take the early rounds with him and then move him off over that Origin and buy sort of period, and get him back for the back end.
I'll tell you, I'm not too sure what sort of buy coverage you've done in your player analysis, but the ones that I've done, I'll tell you what, rounds 10 to 20, it's looking very, very slim for hookers and good hooker options. There's a guy that I'll cover later on in the episode that, you know, you might laugh at, but he's looking like a genuine sort of option throughout the middle. But these premium hookers, like, they're all their buys are sort of smack bang in the middle of the season, and it's making it hard to stomach paying, you know, 800. But he gets off to a flyer, or if he does get off to a flyer, fantastic. At time of recording, I posted the sort of the top 10 players for try assists last year, Ado, and 8 of the 10 were halves. One of them was Latrell Mitchell, and the other one was Harry Grant. So, you know, he's up there. He's up there in try assists, and he can compete with the best halfbacks. But it is that round 9 to probably round 20 dry spell where he's probably going to only play 5 or 6 full games in 11-12 weeks. So, if you are taking Grant, my very early advice would be probably look to trade him out at his first buy. But the question 2-2, we sure will cover this. Damien Cook, you know, his first buy is until round 16, but you're not overly keen?
Well, you know, choosing between these two guys, Harry Grant's the clear choice for me. Look, let's go over Damien Cook. 797,700. He's a stone's throw on price away from Harry Grant. Last year, he was absolutely amazing. Probably exceeded. We all thought he was going to go backwards, didn't we? Getting older and no Latrell for a big part of the season, but he finished with an average of 75.2. I've got him pegged for a 71.76, so basically 72 this year, a drop of 3 points on last year. His buys are later, round 16, round 21, round 26, and his ownership at the time of us doing our research was 2.2%.
That really surprises me, because Damien Cook is like, and I hate using the word casual, but like, he's a casual player. Like, everyone that, you know, is very, like, very loosely in the Supercoach would know Damien Cook. So I'm surprised his ownership is so low.
Yeah, it really does surprise me. He is one of those hookers that can get 100 too. I'll put that in one of the pros about him is that he's a 90 and 100 getter on a regular occurrence, probably even more hundreds at him than Harry Grant. Look, he for draft, it, you know, if you're not going to get Harry Grant, I think the next one you're going to grab, once it goes Harry Grant, Cook and Robson, you might as well just sit there and go for another pick, I reckon, in draft, because, you know, you there's enough good options that'll be 50, 60. And if you don't get one of these top three, I reckon you could just skip the hooker and grab someone on the dregs and then go for another position. So Damien Cook will certainly be somebody that people will be snafuing. Well, maybe not even in the first round anymore these days. I reckon he might get done on the second round of picks. Look, he will play probably near 80 minutes a game. Last year he averaged pretty in the high 70s minutes, so I expect that he's going to probably play big minutes. Are they going to even go with who are they going to have on the bench that's going to spell him?
I can only think of Taff filling the 14 role, and I don't see him spelling Cook.
No, I don't see him coming on in dummy half. So, look, he's going to probably play 80 or close to 80 nearly every game. His buys are late in the year, which is something that we just talked about with Harry Grant. It's a bit of a fiddle, isn't it? Because if you get Cook, you can hold him. And look, he's not even definite to go to Origin because you've got the emergence of Robson and Coruscant. They could even be – this could be the year that they decide to pass the mantle on. Mm-hmm. So that would be outstanding, wouldn't it, if you decided to take a punt on Cook. You don't get a bye till round 16 and he just misses Origin because he missed the Kangaroo. He missed the World Cup.
Yeah, look, and that's the thing. Like, if he doesn't play Origin, there's huge merit. You go – you know, you'd go Grant to Cook in round 10, and you're missing one game from Cook in round 16, and you pick Grant up back in round 20 or round 21. Yeah. I guess the buys for Cook are a pro and a con. Round 26 would absolutely rule him out of anyone's team for the run home because that's obviously grand final week. But yeah, like 80-minute hookers are a huge rarity, and Cook is definitely one of them. As you said, all he needs to do is get a try involvement, whether that be a try assist, and if that comes with a line break assist, Cook's got the base for that to be basically an automatic 100. And does have, you know, fantastic upside, great running game. We saw that sort of comeback, the classic tale of Bennett killing Supercoach hookers. We saw, Cook really bounce back. And as you said, surprisingly only 2 points behind Harry Grant, who everyone's saying is the holy grail for hookers. Yeah, Cook was only two points behind him. So, look, if you
do you want some cons? I'll give you some cons of course. Damien Cook, which is why I've decided to go Harry Grant instead of him. He's got a very hard draw to start the year, and some players, the draw doesn't matter to them at all, but that's not the case with Cook. He's got the Sharks, he's got the Panthers, he's got the Roosters, he's got the Melbourne Storm. Four of those are out of his first five games. Those guys, his average against the Sharks is 62. Now that's quite a bit off his average last year. His average score against the Penrith Panthers is 58. His average against the Chooks is 53. And his average against the Melbourne Storm is 52. So that's like 20 points. And, of course, it is the Melbourne Storm. But four out of your first five games, are you going to be happy with 60, you know, as an average from Cook to start the year? I think looking at that Melbourne Storm early draw, and if you go over the historic averages for Harry Grant against the teams he's got over the first five rounds, we're talking 80s and 90s. So, It is unfortunately one of those things where I look at that early draw and it does spook me a little bit on Damien Cook.
Yeah, and that's fair. Like what you're saying there, like, and I know the hard draw, some people are like, oh, well, if it's a hard draw for forwards, then that means more work in the middle, so it'd be an uptick in points. But with Cook there, yeah, it's, you know, 15, 20 point drop off. Like historically, Cook isn't a young player. Like there is a good enough sample size here now to suggest that that average is quite lower and those games could be. And like, as I said to you, Cook's the kind of guy who thrives off those upside plays, the attacking involvement. And as we can see here against these tougher sides, yeah, he's punching out middling 50s and 60s, but at nearly 800K, I'd probably want a little bit more upside earlier on. But, you know, mid-season trade, that he could be fantastic if the price does come down. I guess if you aren't going Cook, you aren't going Grant, a lot of teams are, you know, being built around Reece Robson at 678K, 8% ownership. Last year averaged 65.5. I've got him this year averaging about 68, so a very, very slight uptick. With buyers coming in around 15, 19, and 24. In draft, I would say he's probably a late round two, early round three kind of guy. The clear hooker three for mine, but do you want to be overpaying to get a set and forget hooker? I'm not too sure, considering I've only got him pegged at a 68 average. The pros, though, we all know his work rate. He never, in his career, has never fluctuated from a 0.8 to a 0.86 PPM in 4 years. So a very, very consistent, you know, output, you know, you're going to get from him. Most likely locked in for 75 minutes as well, with no huge threat coming from the bench. Jake Granville might get named at 14, but even last year he wasn't playing huge minutes. He's got through 48 games in the last 2 years as well. So, you know, 24 games a year on average in the last 2 years. So durability is there. And has an absolute golden draw to start the season. We all know about the Cowboys' absolutely brilliant run. And honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if he's 6 points within Grant for the first 6 weeks. Season average, I think Grant obviously will cover him quite easily. But with the golden draw, you know, and I've only got him 6 points different from Grant in the opening 6 weeks, he's 140K cheaper. You know, fantastic. The cons with Robson, though, is he does lack the upside that you'd want from someone at nearly 700K. You know, we're paying that money. We want to see some big scores. Although the consistency is going to be there, we want some big scores. Look, he's only got 3 scores over 90. He also isn't available for the important rounds when Grant is out. You know, we mentioned that he's out round 15, round 19. They're pretty big weeks that Grant is out. If you're building around Grant and you want to go to Robson. And so if you want a mid-season cover, that's not there. And he also misses week one of Supercoach Finals for the back end. Now, I know it's a long, long way away, but it's definitely something to worth mentioning and putting in your planning. But with Robson, though, like, I can see it, because career PPM of 0.8 to, you know, 0.86, 80 minutes a game, there's a career average of 64. You know, we take up the golden draw. If you want to add 10 points to that, you know, based off some involvements over the coming weeks, and yeah, you know, pushing 75 for the opening 6 weeks for a cheaper price on Grant, I can see why, and I'm surprised the ownership is only 7.2%, to be honest.
Yeah, well, I mean, and we this is out of date by a week for us. He's only at 7.9 in live ownership, so it is lower than I thought. I can see the merit in it, because that is an absolutely sensational run of games. I reckon he is one of those hookers that is getting, I mean, you look at his improvement last year on the year before, the rate of knots of improvement. I guess some people are saying, is he going to go even to the next level again this year? I'm personally tipping the Cows to go backward a tiny bit this year, still be there and about. But like you said, he's not a big 100 getter. I reckon with that draw, you could probably make a case for him to start the season. If you wanted to save, it's 130 something grand.
The question
that could be the difference between a Elliot and you get him up to an Angus Crichton.
The question that I put to these 7.9% of people, though, if the Cowboys didn't have a golden draw, are we looking at Robson based off the fact that he is nearly 700K and only 3 scores above 90?
Well, you put it this way, if Robson had Cook's draw and Cook had Robson's draw, I'd take Cook every day of the week.
Yeah, and that's what I'm thinking. And Robson's been in and out of my side. Like, I'm not 100% sold on not taking him. I'm not 100% sold on taking Harry Grant, because the draw is so enticing. I just don't know at 700K for 3 scores above 90. That's the big sticking point for me. But don't get me wrong, I don't expect Robson to score below 60 in these opening 8 weeks. So if you're going to have that safe as houses, you know, floor, I can see it. But then in saying that, though, we saw Cook's career average against those sides, and it was 58 was the worst. So Cook's got more upside. Maybe you take the punt on Cook at, you know, 2.2% ownership or whatever it is. So it comes down to what you want from your hooker. If you want safe as house of scores in, you know, consistent 60s, I think Robson's your guy with the, you know, occasional higher score. Balls to the wall, Damien Cook. I spend the money on Harry Grant. They're probably our tier one guys. You know, I think there's three clear cut tier one guys.
Yeah, if someone, if you've got one of those three hookers in your team,
you're not going wrong.
Really, you're not playing bad Supercoach, are you?
Your next middle tier, though, these are the guys you can make a case and be your hooker one, but a lot of these people are pairing up with another Supercoach option. And geez, over 53% of people own Brandon Smith.
Yeah, that's huge, isn't it? He is the flavor of preseason, isn't he? Look, the main thing, well, let's go over the nuts and bolts. 478,200, which is very much mid in today's money. You know, last year we were going for people like Randall, you know, because we had a midi in Randall and he was such a slow burn and I couldn't get rid of him, you know, when I wanted to. And I had to hold on to him until he eventually started to, you know, go up and, just enough to get him up, you know, to trade him upward. The cheese, he's 53.2% ownership. It's almost scary if you don't go him.
Antipod territory.
Well, I mean, he hasn't got a huge ceiling. He doesn't get many hundreds, does he? And there is that unknown of how, they're going to be using him, at the Roosters. We'll cover that in cons. Look, the average in 2022 is 45.5. I've projected him in this 2023 season to average 66. And I'm assuming that he's going to get 65 minutes because they will have, probably Turpin on the bench. Everyone who thinks he's going to be an 80-minute hooker, it's not going to be the case. I think he'll get 65 realistically, and I think you should probably set your sights for that. He's got a buy in round 4, a buy in round 13, a buy in round 19. So that's probably not the greatest either, is it, around that 13, 19, if you're a Harry Grant.
You're seeing a common thing here, aren't you? There's, you know, many, many missing mouths during this middle part of the year.
Yep. Look, for draft, he's unlikely to feature in the early round picks because he's not a top tier one, but he could be an easy pickup in your round 3 or even 4 if, depending on your league size. I would personally, if I was playing draft, if I'd miss Robson, Cook, or Grant, I would just skip Hooker and I'd go to try to get one of those high ceiling guys in one of the other positions. I'd take a Dave Fifita with a big ceiling and I'd just come try to wheel my way back around
with draft, to Hooker. With draft, I find these classic guys, like the guys that classic players hype up, get overdrafted. And I feel like Brandon Smith could be overdrafted. Like you've got him pegged at what, 66?
Yep.
And look, that's great, but that ain't round 3 territory for me. Like that's not early round 3, and I think people could overdraft him. So I think you're spot on with your evaluation of round 4. Yeah. I think people might just buy into the hype a little bit too much.
Yeah, I think so. And you know, people do silly things like they'll, you know, skip a Garrick and they'll grab a Brandon Smith, you know, once the hookers start getting picked up. And you know, Garrick with Turbo in the team will probably average 80, you know, 70s, you know, so you grab him. You know, but people will, you know, they'll get sucked into Brandon Smith. Look, his pros, his minutes last year were 49.35 minutes a game, which was very low. He was on the skids at Melbourne Storm because he'd signed with the Chooks. And he's going to get a real minute uptick, I reckon. He's probably going to get 15 minutes conservatively. I mean, what do you think he's going to play in that team? 65, probably?
Yeah, 65. I don't know if Turpin's going to come on and take too much, but I think it's also worth noting that those minutes last year were through the middle in an unnatural position for him as well. So he's had all preseason to train. I think Brandon Smith's been very open over the last couple of years about his playing weight, about how he puts on more weight to play 13 and drops weight to play 9, and you think him dropping weight would allow him to play bigger minutes as well.
Yep. If you go back to 2021, he was covering injured Harry Grant. He played 60 minutes a game, and he averaged 68. So I think we're going to be in that sort of ballpark, 65 minutes. I'm saying 66.3 as his average. He's got he's over the last 5 years, his points per minute is 1.02. He's a hooker that, and I know a lot of it is back row, and that generally means a little bit better of a PPM, but he's a bloke that has a good PPM traditionally. That's over 5 years, and that's having played quite a bit of hooker as well. So if he plays 65, he's going to average in the 60s. That's just Brandon Smith to a T, and he's such a value pick this year because there is going to be – you slide an extra 20 minutes into a player with a good PPM, it's going to mean points, and Brandon Smith's going to make money. And you could get him up probably – I reckon he can – make money to Cook quicker, you know, than a lot of other people that you'd be going with in the hooker position. So I'm tipping him for 66.5. The cons for him, look, it's a new team. And there's some unknowns about how he's going to be used and how the minutes are going to be. We are really spitballing that it's going to be 65, maybe 70, that Turpin's not going to play lots of minutes. But do we know for sure? You know, he could get up to Turpin could play 20 minutes a game realistically, so it could be just 60 minutes for him. We hope it's not. And he's likely not to have a license that he did in the Melbourne Storm. That's my guess, because in the Melbourne Storm, because he'd been there for so long, his whole career basically, or was it his whole career? Did he only ever play for the Melbourne Storm? He was a big fish in that pond, even with all of those big names. He had a bit of license to sort of go for those dummy half close to the line. And some of those were actually really low percentage dummy half ones, weren't they? And he, you know, he's such a little tough wombat of a thing that he got over for tries. Robbo, he doesn't really, you know, he's had solid, you know, even with Jake Friend, he's had solid basic sort of hookers. And I don't know if he's going to have the license to do all of the stuff that he did at the Melbourne Storm. And there is a lot of strike in that team. So they might be like, hey, pull it back a bit, son. We've got Joey Manu out there, you know. So there could be maybe a little bit more no-frills play from him. I don't know if that's going to detract from, you know, him still being a great player for our teams this year. And I've got him in my team. And I have absolutely no doubts that he's going to get up to the 650 mark. And he's probably going to do it in pretty short amount of time.
Yeah, like no matter what has happened in my team this preseason, I've made 700 drafts, but Brandon Smith has been in every single one of them, and he'll never come out of it. The thing I'm looking at is the price at 45. I mean, you've got him pegged at 66, even if he averages 60. I mean, that's still 15 points of value. Are we saying he's a keeper? Probably not. Losing the 2RF tag does hurt, because if he was available at 2RF as well, could make you more of a borderline keeper all season long. But still, I mean, your price at 45, hooker for the Roosters, 60 minutes, I'm not really seeing a whole lot of
downside. Yeah, I mean, just say Cook misses Origin and, you know, he's fattened up beautifully, the cheese, you could go over to Cook.
100%, you know? 100%. If I told you someone averaged 75, finishing the season last year at a three-round average, has shown the ability to average over 70 for a 10-week sample as well, and is locked into play 80 minutes... you wouldn't say 0.8% ownership, and that's got me confused on Jaden Brayley. I'm really high on Jaden Brayley this year, actually. He's this text is too small, but I think it's 607K. Look, last year averaged 57.8. I've got him pegged at about 62, 63 this year. Buys in round 10, 14, and 19, so he's available for the, you know, for the Supercoach finals. Once again, though, not available for that mid part of the year, which is not ideal. In draft, I think he would go in round 6 or 7, and I think he's going to be one of the most underrated players or underrated hookers this year in draft. The big pros for Brayley is he is an 80-minute hooker week in or week out, guaranteed. No one's taken his spot. He's the club captain. He's one of the few hookers that I generally think is locked in 80 minutes.
You don't reckon Kurt Mann's going to come on and spell him?
No, I think Kurt Mann
can't play dummy hard. He's one of the ugliest passes I've ever seen.
Jaden Brayley is good. Like I rate Jaden Brayley very highly.
I like both the Brayley boys. They're good, solid footballers. And, you know, even last year, coming back from major injury, you know, he sort of started mildly when he first came back, but that end of year average, I think it was a 3 or 4 game stint at the end of the year, wasn't it, with 70s. You know, he's one of the rare 80 minute hookers this year, and it is a road less traveled. I mean, we think he's going to average low 60s. Why would you buy him for 607 when you could get the cheese for 200K?
That's the only thing, and that's what I'll come to. But like, as I said, like 80-minute hooker locked in. With Randall being moved on, I just think they're zero threat. I don't care about Kurt Mann. He's also had a full preseason uninterrupted after that long injury layoff, you know, at the start of last year. He came back slow, but he finished with a three-round average of 73. The matches in round 110 back in 2021, he also averaged 74.2. As I said at the start of this sort of player analysis, he's shown the ability over a long period of time to average, 70 plus. The concerning thing was rounds 11 to basically the end of the season in 2021, he dropped off a cliff, but he has shown the ability to average substantially, you know, higher than what he's priced at over a long period of time. He's also extremely consistent, being a career 0.74 PPM kind of guy. So if we put that at 80 minutes, you know, we're looking at 60. The cons, again, he doesn't cover that important middle part of the season, as we've touched on, where we do need cover, and he's just so boring, isn't he? Like, Jaden Brayley, he's just so meat and potatoes. Even if it all went to plan for Jaden Brayley, like, his absolute best, it's probably 75, and that's, like, his absolute best footy. And that's perfectly fine for a backup hooker. Like, if you're getting 75 from a backup hooker, fantastic. But do we want to be paying 600K for a backup hooker? That's the problem. If he was 500, I'd be much more interested. But 600, it's the definition of that awkward price range. He's priced, you know, 12 points higher than Brandon Smith. He's just right in the middle. And like I said, at his absolute best, it's only 75. But for 600K, it's a bit meh. And I just feel for 600K, you want to be making good money, or be a season keeper, and I don't think he's, you know, either of those. And he just, if you want a really, really safe pair of hands, obviously Brayley is the guy, but I just don't see that 100-point upside in him. But like I said, he did finish the season fantastically last year, and I do think 0.8% is probably a little bit low for what he can do.
Yeah, I mean, it's so bizarre that we've every one that we've gone through, all of them are bond buys around that middle section. So we're down into the middle tier, you know, of the ones that did okay in last year, and are your midi. So you're going to have to find some diamonds in the rough here for hookers around those buy periods. I want to go with Reid Marnie here. He's in the midis. We're talking about 574,800. If you had to guess what Reid Marnie's ownership is compared to Jaden Brayley, let's have a stab at Reid Marnie.
This is ridiculous. This is 10 times.
I wrote wow next to it. I couldn't believe it.
10 times the amount of people own Reid Marnie than Jaden Brayley. I think that's bizarre.
7.9% people own Reid Marnie. Must be all these like optimistic Dogs fans. And look, I think they're on for a bit better of a year this year. Look, 7.9% ownership really surprises me. I can't believe it. I mean, where are people? Are they start? I mean, 7.9. Are they going him instead of Brandon Smith, or are they going him as their main hooker and Brandon Smith?
I don't know about you. I'm getting big trap vibes from Reid Marnie.
Well, I'm gonna talk people out of him. Hopefully, his 2022 average was 54.6. When I went to have a look at that, I was like, were they spelling him, you know, in hooker? Did he only play 65 minutes?
I started with him, mate. Like, literally, last year, I was tossing between, I think it was Harry Grant and Mitch Moses, or Reid Marnie and Sam Walker. And I opted for Sam Marnie and Reid Walker, and Harry Grant and Mitch Moses absolutely fucking killed it. And yeah, I just, Reid Marnie, he just, everything that made him so good in 2021 was just gone last year.
Yeah, he averaged 76.9 minutes, which is nearly heading up towards 80 minutes a game. I projected him this year if he plays 80 minutes. Are they going to have a hooker on the bench spelling him? I think Reid Marnie, actually, as long as his body's healthy, I reckon he could play 80 minutes. He is a small body, but he's a tank. He goes hard.
He had those two shoulder complaints, I want to say last year. It might have been the year before, but he's had historic shoulder issues. So fitness for him definitely is the big thing.
Yeah, well, I've got him pegged at a 60.8 for this year. He's also on the buys in round 13, round 17, round 23. So look, the round 13's looking dusty if you did want to go him, but he's you're going to have round 17 and round 20. You know, the other ones are missing from 14 and 19, so maybe that could work for you. For draft, my notes are you could do a hell of a lot worse than landing Marnie as a scrap. You know, like, because I'm giving up after Robson, and you know, like you said, if you landed on a Brayley, just in dregs after you'd already picked up other players in your draft. Marnie will just sit there, and he'll probably just be a 60-point averager against those people like who grab, you know, Robson, who's going to average 66. I reckon he's only going to be 6 points behind, so no one's going to pick him up. He'll probably be just left there.
Just on,
you know, he'll be last fifth round or something. You know, sixth round, you'll get picked up.
Just on those buys, the problem with this is you're not starting with him, but if you trade him in, you have to trade him then out because he's out round 23. So, like, yeah, you're wasting two trades to get him in for what rounds? What were the two rounds of concern, 16 and 19? Like, you're wasting two trades to get cover there, and that's the big issue. Because, yeah, round 23 does stick out. And I know that we keep harping on about it, but it is important to have, your best side available come finals time.
Yep. Look, I try to find some pros for him. I don't know if they're going to have a utility on the bench like Biondiota or someone who's going to spell him for minutes. You know, I'm looking at their lineups and I think, you know, they could go in with four forward bench. I don't know if they're going to have somebody in there that is going to cover.
I can really only think of Jackson to Pine. They can play a bit of lock, bit of nine on the bench. But yeah, Marnie should be looking at 70 plus minutes, you would imagine.
Yeah, well, that's what I've said. It'll be 70 at a minimum. And he's a co-captain in their weird sort of captain thing, isn't he? One of the co-on-field captains or something?
The seven of them.
Yep, so maybe he steps up. I just think people think, the Dogs are on the big rise. Well, I mean, Parramatta Eels made the grand final last year, you know, and he did all his best stuff, got himself up to Queensland squad playing for Parramatta. And I don't know if it's a step. I mean, look, I'm expecting good things from the Dogs, but I don't think they're going to be as good as Parramatta this year. No. So he's going into a team that is on the rise, but not as good as the team he's come from. He's probably going to have a little bit more responsibility and maturity required of him there, but I don't know if that's going to equate to extra points because he had 76 minutes last year and he's still on his average 54.6. He doesn't stack up against Cheese, who's 100K cheaper. He's going to average less. So why would you pay 100K extra for somebody who's going to average less?
I'll put this to you. For 23K difference and, you know, 10 times the amount of ownership, would you rather Brayley or Marnie?
I'd rather Brayley.
Yeah.
I'd rather Brayley any day of the week because, you could honestly, you would be watching Marnie biting your fingernails all game.
He's just, like, the problem with Marnie is, like, you could pull up NRL.com and see Marnie's on 55 tackles. But he's on 55 points. That's all he's done. Like, no runs, no creativity, no offloads, no tackle busts. It's just tackles. And that's what he lost a lot last year. He lost a lot of the try assists, a lot of the attack. And I'm just not too sure. I think with the way the Bulldogs are going to be playing, I don't really see much more of that happening for him, which, yeah, unfortunate.
Yeah, he's. I just think that 7 point, whatever, it's got to rethink their choice. I just think that. If you go him, you are really drawing a lot of conclusions about what he's going to do this year. So much better than what he's done.
You're buying into a narrative, not the stats. I feel if you're
picking that's right. Money. Yep. Yeah. So he's on a no go for me.
But that's the thing though. Like I'm a huge stat nerd with Supercoach. Doesn't mean it's the right way to play. If you're a vibes kind of guy, if you're a narrative kind of guy, and you believe in like the Bulldogs bounce back, 100% take Reed money. For me, the stats just don't back up, and that's what I base. A bit of my opinion on. Sam Verrills, 551K, 0.9% ownership. Last year averaged 52.4. It's hard. I don't really know. I've got him at 48, but it could be 55. Like, it's probably a 10-point fluctuation. The bias for Verrill this year, round 5, round 13, round 16. For draft, he finished as the hooker 11 last year, but the problem is he doesn't have the dual. So if you're looking at him as like a late option to have on your bench, he can't come in and cover multiple positions. It's only hooker. And for me, he's not a starter. So therefore, if you're going to be drafting him, he's going to be a guy that you're punting hooker on and you're drafting him very late. The pros with Sam Verrills, in games over 70 minutes last year, he averaged 68.3. That's, you know, pretty impressive. He does have a good...
It shocked me.
He does have a good historic PPM of around 0.8, which would be a 64 average for 80 minutes. It's just, you know, there's a lot of hookers, and we'll touch on those. Verrills, he's a very crafty hooker who probably could use his mobile forwards quite well, like Tino, Beau Former, Aaron Clark, Fifita, even Mo Fotowaker, like these guys that like to run onto the ball, he could find a bit of success there. The cons though, he waited and waited and waited for his chance. Jake Friend retired, and then he just gets shipped off at the first moment's notice. I'm not too sure if that says much about what the Roosters thought of him. But he's going to a Titan side who have plenty of rotation risk. You know, you've got Aaron Clark. As much as Tanner Boyd is locked into the 7, you know, he did play 9 times last year. I don't think they're going to give up on Toby Sexton after, you know, half a bad year. So Sexton could come in. Clark could play 9. Boyd could play 9. You've also got Aaron Booth and you've got Chris Randall as well. So there's, you know, a lot of names there and the minutes aren't guaranteed. If you told me Verrills was locked into 80, definitely could get around it. But the problem is it's so hard.
And the coach is a lunatic, honestly. Yeah. His job's on the line. But I mean, if you look at what we've predicted there, 17, it looks like they're going to go with Jaden Campbell on the bench.
Yeah.
Where are they going to bring Jaden Campbell on? Are they going to put him to fullback and bring Brimson up to the halves? Maybe they use Boyd for 10 minutes.
Yeah, Boyd and Hooker. That's the thing. Like it's and I guess the other really bad thing about Verrills is he's only played 33 games in 3 years.
So yeah, I was trying to look up. I was like, is that less than Tommy Turbo?
Is it?
No, it's – well, Tommy Turbo had his 15-year Dally M, and then he had 7s on either side. Oof. So that's 29 games. So he's only just ahead of Tommy Turbo. Yeah. He's made of glass.
So, yeah, and also he's just a really shit price. Like 551 is just a gross price. Look, if you got 80 minutes – if Justin Holbrook came out tomorrow and said, Sam Verrills is playing 80 minutes, probably would be in my team. Not going to lie. Probably would be in my team. But just – yeah, I just don't know. He could play 40. He could play 80.
I've never owned Sam Verrills for Supercoach.
No, either have I. And I don't expect that to happen in 2021.
Yep. Next one on our list is Aaron Clark. And he's an interesting one, actually. He piqued my interest a little bit.
Before you go on your tangent, has Aaron Clark made his way into your team at some point this preseason?
No.
Oh, okay. He's made mine. There you go. I've had everyone for a bit.
You've had everyone through. You post the new team every day, but I've not had him through my team because I like to go these players who I feel very confident on, you know, what their role is. And I've really got questions over how they're going to use him and what his minutes are going to be. But we'll get to that. Aaron Clark, he is one of those handy ones with the hooker and second row forward duel. I'm seeing most people pick him in second row forward, not in hooker. But he is around that same price as Cheese. So does he stack up against Cheese?
What do you think of that, picking him in second row over hooker? Because I think his value presents itself in second row.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to go him and you're predicting the best stuff, that in the best case scenario of what you expect for Aaron Clark this year, he could stack up probably okay against someone like Garner or Alicia Katoa or, you know, these ones that everyone's going. And if you're looking to do the trades in your hooker position around origin time, he's a five around 13 and around 16, but you still have a little bit of movability when you're trading, which is an advantage. Look, I've said average in 2022 was 47. His minutes was 59.95 last year. I always want to have a look at that because I felt like last year I was like, if he had more minutes and he was playing lock, I reckon he could be pretty good. I'm projecting him this year for an average of 50.05. And I got absolutely hammered by Nathan from Supercoach Guns on that. Look, he pointed out something very important to me because I worked it out on 65 minutes at his career PPM, which is 0.77. Nathan pointed out to me that, look, his PPM probably goes up to a lock PPM. Yeah. So he said, I think he's a candidate for a PPM improvement. So, you know, if he can improve that up to, let's say, a 0.85, he'll get 55. If he can get it up to a 0.95, he'll average 60. You know, so I think he probably, if he gets 65 minutes at lock, I reckon his PPM will improve, and that conservative tip on his historic PPM will actually probably see him have a higher average, more like 60. So let's say 60. Let's say he gets 65 and he improves his PPM. For draft, I was like, his only value in draft is that he is dual. When we're talking about Verrill's not having any value in draft, Aaron Clark does because
I'm taking Clark miles ahead of Verrills in drafts.
Yeah, absolutely. Because of the same. Because you've got maneuverability. You can put him in your hooker if you've got an injury or a bye, and you can move him down to the second row. Extremely helpful in draft. I make my trades in draft to be able to cover positions, multiple positions. They're so valuable in draft. So he has some value there. Look, his pro is that he is dual. He looks set that he's going to start for lock at the Titans, but last year, I mean, in the negatives, I mean, it looks like he's going to start in lock, but do you reckon that we could see stupidity? Tino really has no value as a lock, in my opinion. I think he looks much, much better in the front.
That's the thing, man. He's 494K. If he was 404K, far out, I'd be so, so keen. The same problem with Sam Verrill is, like, what are the minutes? And like, my rotation, it's Mofo and Tino up top with Verrills at 9 and Clark at 13. But then, like, what do the minutes look like? And that's, like, if we got some more clarification through the trials and, like, before, and, like, we could get a surety that he was playing 60 minutes at lock, I think his points per minute would, like, jump up over one, and therefore he'd be averaging 60 plus, and I'd be very keen. Just right now, it's just so awkward. Like, it's just so tough.
I mean, when I say I reckon the Cheese will get 60 minutes, I'm very confident it's 60 minimum.
Oh, we're much more confident on 65, that.
65. Best case scenario, 65, 70, probably 65 if they go with Turpin on the bench. With Aaron Clark, it could be 59 like last year, or it could be 65, 70, or 65 would be perfect, I reckon, for him, and I think his PPM will improve. So, but that's just too scary for me. I reckon I could get him into my team and then find out that they're playing for the first 20 minutes and then move Tino down to lock, and he only plays 30, 40 minutes in the first game, you'd be pulling your hair out. Yeah.
And Tino, like, and Tino being captain as well, it's just like, fuck, like, I just don't
know. Tino's going to play big minutes. And Tino seems to like, oh, well, someone likes Tino at lock. So
I don't get that. I remember copping, before you jump into your cons, I remember copping so much flack because I said Tino Fa'asuamalawi is not a good lock. And everyone takes that as like, he's not a good football player. I think Tino's fantastic. I think he's one of the best front row forwards in the game. But he just presents no value at lock for me. And I think Aaron Clark, we saw how good the Titans looked and how good Aaron Clark looked at 13. Like, mobile
he's
middle.
He's a hooker, so he's got really good passing game. Mm. He can pass left and right. You know, in the last year, Tino came on as a front rower because he's got a fend on him now and he's got an offload. It makes him an elite front rower. Tuppany type good.
I was literally about to say, he's similar to Tuppany.
Yep, he's made himself into an elite front rower. You know, we're in this mobile ball playing left right sort of lock, and that really suits Aaron Clark. Look, the cons are he doesn't have a great PPM, and so we're forecasting hopefully that he's going to get extra minutes, and we're going to see a jump in his PPM. That's two things that we're expecting now. You know, if you're going to be speculating for two things, maybe one of them comes off and the other one doesn't. You know, that's just the nature of asking for multiple things. I think he doesn't really. I would prefer to go cheese because I feel more confident about the minutes. And in the second row forward, he might be on those hopeful things that we've got be a better option than some of the other ones in the same price point. But again, I feel confident that Garner, even on tries alone in that Penrith Panthers team, will average 60.
That's the thing. That's the thing. Like, for the same price or for the cheaper price, you can get Luke Garner.
And no stress. You know, you just know Garner's going to average 60 this year.
Yeah.
He'll score probably 10 to 12 tries. Probably, I reckon, Garner. And just on tries alone, he'll average 60 with what his normal fare is, you know. So, to me, he doesn't stack up against someone at the same price in the second row forward, and I would prefer to take cheese. He's got a handy duel, and like you said, if you believe the narrative of him playing big minutes at lock and they've given up on Tino at lock and they like Aaron Clark, the Titans look better with Aaron Clark at lock. Let's
100%,
not. 100%. They look great there, and I was just like, wow, I thought Aaron Clark was such a shit hooker. I played hooker when I played, and I thought he was hopeless. But when he got into the 13, we're like, whoa, the Titans look better. He looks really good there. So you can buy into a narrative. Just be prepared that you may not get the narrative that you want.
He's very much a trial watch for me. Hey, look, we might lose a lot of credibility here, but I'm very keen on Jacob Little. Not for round one, not for round 10, but his buys are round 1, round 16, round 20. He is out 1 week from rounds 1 to 20. We've been talking all podcasts. We've been recording now for 46 minutes about how shit middle cover is. And Jacob Little is there. Now, let me present my case. 467K, yes, it's just way too much for me to start with for round 1. I'm not suggesting him being a buy right now, and that does represent in the 0.3% ownership. Did average 44.4 last year. I've got him pushing 60 at 57 this year, so a 13-point uptick. In draft, I genuinely think he could be a top 8 hooker and could be a great late-round pickup, as you know, some people at that stage of the draft only look at averages. If they filter by average, they'll see average 40 last year and, you know, pass up on him. But I think he could be a fantastic, you know, hooker, because he did finish as the hooker 16 last year, and I've got him, you know, hooker 8, 9 or 10. So a big, big uptick there.
174 Dragons fans are starting with Jacob Little.
I respect the pros. In games over 70 minutes last year, he averaged 63.2, which was slightly higher than his 24-month PPM of 0.84. We're getting really, really stats heavy here. So it does show Little can have that impact, and he also does cover the middle periods of the year, only missing round 16. So he could be a great 55-60-point middle, like mid-price option through the Origin periods this year. Early on, if you're one of the 0.3% of people that are starting with him, early on with Sullivan, you know, questionable, Amone stood down, career number 14, Moses Mbai's hands could be full, playing 6, playing 1, playing whatever. So it could see Little's opportunity for bigger minutes to start the season and, you know, show Hook Griffin that he can be a 65-plus minute hooker. Basically he could, you know, have a hot start with a 60 plus average at only a 44 price. So, you know, if you can get 16 points of average pretty early on, fantastic. The problem is around one buy. That's why I'm not starting with him. But as I said, you know, only being out round 16, and that's the thing, like, people are going to laugh when I say, oh, Jacob Little excites me. obviously not for the first 2 months, but...
But enough to be put him on your watch list.
Of course, and that's
keep
the thing.
Like, on the price.
If you've been listening to anything that Adrian and I have been saying on podcast, there's fuck all options for, like, there's nothing throughout the middle of the year, and Jacob Little could be that 55, 60-point guy. The cons, however, minutes. Jacob Little is definitely one to consider at the right time this season. Don't rule him out at all. But when the Dragons are fully fit, what is Hook's plan? And you know, that's the hard thing.
He's in line to get the hook.
Exactly.
He could pull some wild stuff this year.
Quick, a little bit of housekeeping before we jump into the near cheapies. The Dual Position Podcast, this code is exclusive to people that listen and watch. Adrian and I won't be releasing this code to the public. So you only get in if you listen. The group code, grab a pen. 988813 for any prizes. No, we haven't worked that out yet. I'm sure that we will look for something. I'll message.
You can have an Adrianosaurus polo if you want. I've got a few of those.
I might talk to our wonderful sponsors and see if we can get some prizes put up. But yeah, look, that was sort of the middle portion. That was sort of our middle cover. You know,
remember that try where Little ran like a good half of the field?
And he outran Charlie Staines? I was screaming my TV that night.
That's enough. That's enough for you to have Jacob Little on your watch list, I reckon.
Fastest hooker in the game. This is our next part's going to be our tier three, so our near cheapy kind of guys. No one here is more expensive than 380K. So we move into that next tier of hooker, and that's headlined by Parramatta's new number 9, Adrian.
Josh Hodgson. Look, I'm wearing this, mate. You know I love Josh Hodgson. I've got a lot of love for him.
Surely you got to pick him. You know that photo of him with like just the raging biceps in the singlet? Like, yeah, you got to pick him just based off that.
Look, take a picture of his friggin' knees. Have a go at the knees. Because he's coming off back-to-back ACLs.
Bro, he's 13% ownership. Oh, what the mate. Fuck?
What the hell is going on this year in Supercoach? Mate, I can't believe I've just gone, what the fuck? Going on here, people owning Josh Hodgson, because even if you thought that he was going to be healthy and he's into a good team, he's not ever been super coach relevant. He's never been good. He's 385,600. He's 12.8% owned.
He is 13%
crazy times
ownership.
There's
Jesus
so many Christ. I could pick five hookers I would prefer to go. I'd rather go Sonny Luke.
I think obviously, look, his average last year was 52.4.
Well, 2021.
His average in 2021 was 52.4. I think he's priced this year at about 36. So, you know, there is a bit of value there, but God, 13%.
Yeah, but I'll tell you what the where you lose the value that you might have had is back in 2021, he was a lot healthier and a lot younger. He averaged 75.2 minutes. He's not going to play more than 70 minutes. He can't play 80 minutes a game.
I don't even think he's playing 70. I'd be very surprised. If he plays more than 62, I'd be shocked.
That's right. So
later on in the season,
everything that he would have got, everything that he could have got in upside, he's gonna drop in the minutes he can't play anymore.
That's back-to-back ACLs.
He's 33 or something.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Now,
that's early. I think he will play bigger minutes as the season progresses, but you're taking such a gamble early on. Like, you got Jake Arthur there, even Mitch Rain, I'm pretty sure, still at the club. Like, Hodgson's old and he's frail. He's 13% ownership. Let's just far out.
I mean, people must think he's going to play 80 minutes because they're not going to go in with a hooker, or they might think that old mate Arthur's son's going to come on and play 5 minutes at the end of the game. So they might be thinking that Hodgson's going to play 75 minutes. Look, his buys are in round 14, round 18, round 27, so he doesn't have what Little has in the tier above. In my draft notes is if you missed all the good hookers and you could just skip hooker and make it your last pick of the game in the draft, Hodgson will probably still be there. That's my draft notes. Look, his pros, Ari, is his price. There was a time that they said Hodgson was, you know, the next best hooker in the game, and next to Cameron Smith. And look, he's going into
a long time ago. Jesus,
a long time ago. Yeah, he's going into the grand final team from last year. If he gets his career minutes, which is must be why people are owning him. So, like 75 minutes, he's going to average low 50s because his career PPM is 0.7.
And look, that's value. That's value because he's priced like 33, 34. That's value. But he ain't playing 75 minutes. I'm confident. No.
Yeah, so I'm saying if he gets his career best, forget about his average PPM.
Yeah, you're talking best case scenario.
Yeah, his best career PPM was 0.82, so he gets his best ever, and he plays 75 minutes, he'll average 61.25. So it's a lot of if this and if that, and he's had two back-to-back ACLs, he's 100 years old, but yeah, he'll play 75, and he'll get his career best PPM.
I know that. You know, my voice and my platform has a little bit of sway in ownerships, and, you know, I make a tweet on someone and their ownership goes up a little bit. I better be checking Josh Hodgson in a week's time and seeing this ownership under 10%. If it's not,
I'm a Raiders fan. I've got a Raiders jersey that I got, the girlfriend gave me as a present, and Josh Hodgson was my favorite player. It's got a 9 on the back, the Canberra Milk one. So I loved him. He was such a, I mean, look, we wouldn't have made the grand final without Josh Hodgson, and what he did to the club, all the Englishmen, but mainly him with his wiliness and just having an elite hooker was such a big thing for us. But we offloaded him, and it was the right thing to do. I really think Hodgson's going to be good there. I think he'll be good at the Eels. I just don't think he can play anything. I can't see anything more than 60, 65 at best. There's not enough minutes for him to do anything.
The problem is when he does get minutes, like obviously I think he will get more minutes as the season goes on. But like when he gets the
miles. Not 12.8% to start.
When the miles get in his legs, around 14 and 18, he's out. So he's out in that middle part of the year when he's probably going to be at his fittest. So it's just like
we're going to cover somebody who's going to average 10 points more than him who costs the same. So we'll get to them. I was like, you never take him over cheese at all. There's much better options. His point per minute is average, and it's actually declining. I can't see him playing enough minutes to be relevant. He is an absolute hard pass for me, unfortunately.
Absolutely. Hey, Josh Hodgson at 13% ownership, Tanner Boyd's at 14. I don't see how night and day between these two. Tanner Boyd, 384K, 14.2% ownership. Last year, average 36.6. I would have tipped it at, you know, pushing 60. Buys in round 5, 13, and 16. So not fantastic, but we're not picking him to be a keeper. The thing with draft is he's got a fantastic duel. He can come in and cover. However, with the classic hype, as we've touched on before, he could be overdrafted. I'd ideally like to pick him up round 5, round 6, but I would not be surprised to see him taken mid-round 4, and that's the problem. Like, classic will pump up draft player stocks. With his pros, goal-kicking halfback, inside for feeder, in a side that can put up points, available at hooker. I'm not seeing how he's 1% different to Josh Hodgson. This is why there is genuinely huge hype around him and genuine 20 points undervalued, I think. And if you forego the one game in round 5 when he's out, he could be printing money for 2.5 months up until round 13. So I would not be surprised to see Tanner Boyd pushing 570,000, which is, you know, nearly $200,000 in value. The cons for Tanner Boyd, as much as he's pegged into play 7, Justin Holbrook's in that case. Job security. Boyd has showed value to Holbrook at 9 and 14. And with Aaron Clark moving from 9 to 13, as we suspect, there's also still the potential star in Toby Sexton, who I doubt they give up on him after just one season. I think he's like, he could be a genuine, like,
I call him Toby Sexton. He sucks.
I think he could be at a similar level to like a Jamal Fogarty as he matures. Like,
that's what they thought when they fantastic. Got rid of Fogarty.
Yeah, not fantastic, but I think he could be like, you know, if you were ranking halfbacks 1 to 17, I think he could be like a 8 to 11 kind of guy. Like, I think Sexton, there's still a career there, and I doubt they just give up on that after one season.
He's going to always be lurking, and that is the absolute fear, I reckon. And that's the only fear because, you know, Supercoach is offering us value picks this year. Brandon Smith is one of them, and Boyd, they look just even like getting extra 25
and
minutes.
And that's the thing.
Presents huge value.
It's a gamble, though. If Justin Holbrook came out and said, Tanner Boyd is my 7 all season long, I'm not making any changes, there was no chance he'd be 14% ownership. He'd be 35, 40. But, yeah, you're taking the gamble on that. And a struggling Titan side could make mass changes. And Kieran Foran is not one of the going to be those mass changes. So Kieran Foran will be there through thick and thin. So there's, you know, one spot for Boyd to hold on to. So yeah, seven players can't go into one. And if you have the AJ Brimson issue, does Jaden Campbell stay at 14 all year? Does Brimson pair Foran in the halves at some point? Like, if you're a gambling man and you want to have that 20, 25, 30 point upside, Boyd's your guy. It isn't with risk, however. Now, something on Tanner Boyd, all these dual position guys, we're going to be covering them at what we think is their best position, what they present the most value at. So Boyd won't feature in our halfback podcast, for example.
Yeah, that's where I've got him.
Yeah, look, I've got him. I've got him at halfback actually at the moment.
Yeah, but I mean, everyone else is saying don't go with Harry Grant, go with Hines instead because Hines has got the ceiling.
That's literally, I think that's the bat, and that's what I'm coming down to. Hines versus Cheese, and not Hines versus Cheese, Hines versus Grant, and that's sort of where Boyd falls in. Whichever side you fall on the fence of, that's Boyd shifts in the other side. But yeah, that's Tanner Boyd. What do you think?
I'm all aboard. I'm taking him in halfback and skipping Hines, and I'm going with Cheese as my backup hooker. So I'm actually taking some value in hooker and in halfback, and with Schuster in 5'8", which I think that, you know, that's three of my six being cheapies or middies, which is a different strategy. I really like to have four gun halves traditionally, but this year, we're going to have a bye every week. I've got three Roosters, and in that round where I'm going to have Angus, Teddy, and Cheese out, I want to spread my money a little better so that I've got people are going to be playing Sloan, you know? So you've got to save money somewhere, and maybe half and is not the place to do it, but with somebody like Boyd available, I think you can do it, and if he averages 60, he gets up to his 550, you know, you're just going to try to get him to the one you want to finish with, or one of the better ones, as quickly as you can.
I'm going to plug my social medias once again, because what's a dual position podcast without me plugging my social media? I did a post the other day, Ado, and obviously I've sent it to you. Every team's goal kicker. Surprisingly, Boyd was the second best, by career percentage, Boyd is the second best goal kicker behind Cleary at like 82%, which is incredible. Yeah. Last year it was hashtag boost for Elliot. This year it's hashtag Tanner time. I'm all aboard. Who else do we have in the tier three list?
We got Mitch Kenny, 310,200.
No. You're not stealing my Mitch Kenny spotlight. You've got Jaden Sullivan, and I've got Mitch Kenny because I'm going to absolutely bathe the bloke.
You should have told you. All right, yeah, go on. I would have bathed him as well.
We can.
I'm looking at our notes. Look, Jaden Sullivan, 5'8", and hooker. So he's got an interesting duel. We look at Tanner Boyd, and we look at Aaron Clark, you know, those are different ones. We've got a 5'8 hooker here, which could be handy to you at some point in the season. He is 3.2% owned. His average in 2022 is 30.3. He only got a miserly 40.66 minutes last year. He is tipped to start in the halves there. And, you know, I don't think he's going to really get a rest. Is he? Where are they going to play Mbai? Probably spelling in hooker, I would imagine. But he's projected this year for a 58.4. That's if he plays 80 and he goes at his career PPM, which was hooker PPM. That's where he usually played, wasn't he? I think he played a game or two in the halves, didn't he? But 0.733 is his PPM. So 58.4 for Jaden Sullivan. And that's why 3.2% of people are jumping on him. His buys are obviously in round one with the Dragons. He has a buy in round 16, around 20. In draft, the duel, we've harped on about that. He's a handy waiver pickup, and plonk him on your bench. You know, if you've missed and you sort of made a bad pick or whatever, I don't know if he would be picked up. People probably grab one of those other ones that have got a handy duel, and, you know, the Dragons stink, so Sullivan may not get picked up, but it is a handy duel.
Pretty common denominator here when we're talking about these you know, guys in draft who aren't starters. A lot of the guys that we are liking are the ones with dual, just because it offers more flexibility.
He's a handy one for your bench, and I don't think anyone will pick him up in the live rounds. His pros, he's cheap because he had low minutes. He was a bench utility, and that's a common theme with these Tanner Boyds and even Cheese. It was off the bench and in the bad books, you know, so we expect that they're going to get a bigger minute role. And Sullivan, if things go the way we're hearing, it could be on for a big minutes uptick. So that's where you can find your value at times in Supercoach. I have him and Boyd, who's slightly ahead with his goal kicking, as the best kind of 300K options if you wanted to go cheaper in your half or in your 5-8. Like, I mean, you might have Schuster up in. I know some people have got Schuster up in their second row and they're using Sullivan in their 5-8 backup. I don't know if I'd do it, but, I mean, he's one of the better options, I think, because I'm predicting a 58.4, and he's undervalued. He's going to – and, you know, if he comes in and actually starts in the half and plays for – you know, the whole 80 minutes. His job security does look pretty good with Amone. I don't think he's going to come back at any time soon. Although, do you think that if he has a couple of bad games, they'll just put Mbaye into the halves?
Oh, 100%. That's the issue. I don't know. Coaches love Mbaye, and he's always going
to... Yeah, I don't know. Well, I mean, Hook's going to lose his job over Mbaye.
Jack Bird's also a threat to play six when he's fully fit as well.
He's injured, though, isn't he?
I mean, when he's fully fit. I mean, it's just, it's gross. And the round one bye, it's not like well, that's picking Tyrell Sloan.
What scares me off him is two things. Hook's a lunatic, and Sullivan, Hook has not been nice to Sullivan or to Sloan. And he's shown that in his history, saying they're not ready. You know, I'm going to go with these old. He's dad's army, isn't he? So he's going to bring on one of these other ones. And it just makes me so scared over him. Also, he's got hammy problems, and he's currently out with a hammy.
He is.
You know, and they don't think he's going to be there for the Charity Shield with the hamstring injury. He's one of those ones that has had serial hamstring issues. So,
and then we have
unseen in round one.
Yeah, we have to pick him blind, basically.
Yeah. So we've got to pick him blind. I have that feeling, like, you know how your heart skips a beat. You're like, he's not ready to go for round two. You got him there, and they start Mbaye has a half decent game, and Sullivan just gets 15 minutes.
That's
off
why, and we'll talk about Tyrell Sloan on the center wing podcast. So that's why I'm petrified of starting. I'm going to start with Sloan. I'm petrified of it because who knows?
So 3.2. I think that's probably you know, it's people that are trying to take the value where it presents. I prefer others. I'd much prefer Tanner Boyd if you're using Sullivan in hooker. In the 5-8, I just say, well, I mean, I think that Schuster presents way better value in the 5-8 position than he does in the second row. I think there's going to be some decent options in the second row that you can go for a cheaper price. And I prefer them to Jaden Sullivan. So I don't have the balls to do it.
I'll tell you what, you think 3.2% ownership is too high for Jaden Sullivan. Mitch Kenny is 11% owned. 11 for Mitch Kenny. Mid Kenny, 310K. Last year averaged 29.5. Mate, if he gets 40, I reckon we're on. But I don't even know. I think on the notes originally I had 45, but with the news that Sonny Luke might be taking the bulk share of the minutes, I've dropped him down to a 38. Buys in round 3, round 13, round 19. Crucially, with round 3, he won't make money until the first month, so it's going to take him 4 weeks to make some cash. For draft, I have zero interest in Kenny, absolutely none. He's going to be overdrafted way too much. I genuinely think he's undraftable. No jewel, not a starter in my draft size. Let others take him too early and be punished.
You never want to take the sting out of the game player.
No. You never want the Zach Wolfords of the world. Look, with behind the curtains, with these notes, we generally have them written down. I have 9 lines of cons for 2 lines of pros.
Yeah. You're not a big Mitch Kenny fan. You're about as big on Mitch Kenny as I am on Josh Hodgson.
Oh, mate. So Mitch Kenny, he does have some versatility to Cleary. That's probably the most positive thing I can say. He does obviously can play hooker. He can play through the middle. And there's some obvious minutes opening up with Coruscant leaving. That's all of the nice things that I can say about Mitch Kenny. From a Supercoach standpoint, the cons. At 9, his PPM is disgusting. You're getting like a 0.65 PPM. Now, at 80 minutes, that's perfectly fine for his price, but he's not playing 80. We all know he's not. Sonny Luke was brought in at the expense of Kenny at times last year and mentioned his... And before we mentioned his ability to play 13, so he can be spelled, come off the bench, come back on, whatnot. Between now and writing these notes, there's also been some reports that Mitch Kenny is going to be that take the sting out of the game hooker with Sonny Luke playing the bulk share of the minutes. I just think people are going to see a bloke named for Penrith, like named with a 9 jersey at 300K and jump all over it. I just think with Salmon, Peachy, Sonny Luke lurking, with James Fisher-Harris and Yo being big minute middles, with Leota as a staple on that side, Spencer Lenu getting more minutes, Scott Sorensen played some great footy last year. I just don't know where any of these minutes are. Kenny's also got no upside. He's only scored over 60 three times in his career, Ado, and two of those being back in 2020, both of those needing 80 minutes.
Yep.
And one time back in 2019, netting 75 minutes.
He's down to the live ownership is down to 8.8.
Oh, good. Okay, keep going.
People are moving him. Yeah, it's going to keep going.
I've written here. Mitch Kenny is a glorified Chris Randall from 2022 with worse minutes.
With worse minutes, yeah. Oh, mate. Look, people. We can't be nasty to people that did own him because everyone thought he was going to get 60 minutes and that Sonny Luke was just going to come on for 20 minutes and spell him either side of halftime. But it's not going to be like that. Not from the whispers we've heard.
Don't pick Mitch Kenny. Like I said, people are going to get the Teamless Tuesday, see a Penrith number 9 at 300K, and they're like, oh. Look, if you pick Mitch Kenny after everything I've just said and you, like, message me on a Monday after lockout being like, oh, Mitch Kenny's pretty shit, isn't he? I'm like, yeah.
Mitch Kenny scored 25.
What happened? I mean, we tried to tell you back in February.
Yeah, it's not a go. Are you done on Kenny?
No, but let's move on.
Yeah, I think, look, you can't have him. Look, Danny Levi.
Give me Danny Levi over Mitch Kenny.
I'm not picking him. Danny Levi is the next on the list.
Give me him over Mitch Kenny, though. Fuck it.
Oh, well, I mean, he's in the same boat as Mitch.
Oh, is he another take this thing out of the game hooker, you reckon?
I think so. 329,700. He's 0.5% owned.
That's still too high.
Look, Starling is on the bench. Ricky does not play those minutes. Like, he doesn't play them lopsided. Like, it's not like... Arthur coming on the bench for 5 minutes. It's, you know, Starling's going to play some minutes. He's going to probably play 30 to 40 minutes. So what are you expecting from Danny Levi? Anyway, he's 2020 average, because that was the last time he was here, 41. I'm projecting his average 33. Yeah, and that's assuming he gets 50 minutes.
It's just Raiders hookers,
I don't think he's even going to get 50 minutes.
It's just Raiders hookers in general, isn't it? Like, you could chuck Zach Wilford here. You can chuck Tom Starling here.
Tom Starling and Danny Levi, you don't touch, because they are going to be in the most even minutes. Oh, that's my oven. I'm cooking a roast. That's the most even spread of minutes out of all the hookers. You know, maybe the Broncos there with Walters and that might have a similar one, but you can't touch either of them really for that purpose. So, look, there's whispers that he's going to start. Don't be fooled by that, because people who last year wanted to go Starling and thought he was on for a big year, and then the emergence of Wolford ruined it.
Do you remember that glorious like 3 weeks where Starling played like 65 minutes and averaged like averaged like 70? Oh.
Yeah, and then look, Rick Stewart is just always looking for some sort of no-frills bloody thing to put in there and play half the minutes with him, and then use Starling as an impact player with his, you know, quick off the mark footwork and stuff. But that's going to be the case for Danny Levi. Look, he's pros. The price, you know, there's a whisper that he's going to start. I'm not saying that he's even a pro, because that's all just, it's an illusion. It'll be interesting to see what Levi can do in a good team. He's not actually ever played in a really good team, from what I've seen.
I don't think he's playing anyone this year either.
Oh, get out, mate. Made the eighth last year. Where'd the friggin' Tigers go? Got Melbourne in the first week of the finals.
Hey,
had a prelim in 2020, maybe it was. We've made the grand final. Six again.
That's going to wrap up. That's going to wrap up the tier three hookers. We've got three more guys to cover. It's been a long one.
Don't touch him.
We've got the avoid like a plague category. Now, I should have chucked Mitch Kenny in here in hindsight, but I've chucked in Appy Korosau at 666,200. 5.2% ownership, which seems pretty high to me. Last year, averaged 63.3. This year, I've got him pegged at a 60. Now, a 3-point drop-off doesn't scream avoid like the plague, and I'm not saying avoid Appy for the whole season. We will come on to that. His buys are round 7, round 13, round 17. So, available for Supercoach finals, available for the back end of the season. And in draft, I've got him pegged as sort of a late 4th round pick. The pros, I really like the options that the Tigers have off the bench with Stefano, Fanua Bolle, Justin Matamua, Sean Bloor, Alex Seyfarth. None of these guys are hookers. Appy will be probably looked upon for 80 minutes, being a leader in that pack, which is why I don't see a massive fall off the cliff for him with scoring, for example. He also is a really good spark of attack, and He's a really great creative player and should help Brooks and Dewey a lot. He also finishes the buys quite early, as we've touched on, so he's available for the back end of Supercoach Finals, which is where I think his value will show and rise, and ownership will rise as he becomes set in a new team. The reason why I think he's a sort of an avoid to start the season is just with a career high PPM, like after a career high last year in averages, he's coming to as a very awkward price, you know, mid 600s, and I just don't see him as a season keeper, and I don't see him having the early upside like a Robson. I just think it's going to take his time to get his scoring back. I think he will potentially finish the season like a 5-round average at the end of the year, like maybe 70, and that's why he probably will be relevant in people's sides as the year ends on. And I think the run home at a discounted price will be ideal. But I just think he's avoided like the plague for the first early stages. And I think 5.2% ownership, I was very surprised at that. Seems awfully high.
I mean, going from the Panthers, even though there's a lot of great players there, but they just make Coruscant look better. He complimented them. They complimented him. There's a lot of... if you know they've built a roster there, but none of those guys have played a lot together. And I agree with you. I think he might start a little slower and pick up as the season.
Do not be surprised. Come round 20, round 21, Ado and I are sitting here doing this podcast and being like, "Hey, Appy Corus has a buy," but I just don't see that being, you know, the first 10-15 rounds.
Yep, I agree. Look, Jerry Marshall King, 610,700. There's these guys that are really awkwardly priced. He's 0.8% owned, and I don't think that's still too high. His 2022 average was 58. That was off the 70.5 minutes. That's the thing. I'm projecting him this year for 52.5 average. He's gone to the Dolphins team, which we're not expecting a great deal on. I've raised his PPM and said he's going to play 70 minutes for him to get to that 52.5. Last year was his career year, and he averaged 58.
Yeah, I just don't see it. So, do you buy into the narrative Wayne Bennett killed Supercoach hookers?
Well, I mean. Yeah, I mean, look, if his career year was 58, I think Bennett will kill that down to a 52.
Yeah.
That's my tip anyway. Look, Jerry Marshall King is somebody, I like him as a player. Dogs fans are like, "Oh, Marnie's a huge upgrade." And I was like, is he really?
Is he really?
Yeah, that's what I'm asking, you know, because I thought Jerry Marshall King had a pretty good year last year, personally. But look, I think the Dolphins, and I'm not expecting much of them, not to mention they're going to have Cody Nikorima on the bench and Ray Stone.
Our boy, our mascot of the show.
Yeah. So, look, I'm just expecting this year that he's not going to play 70.5. I mean, I'm just assuming if he gets 70, which you've got two guys that can spell decent minutes in there. And we know that Wayne loves Nikorima. So, look, I can't see him getting 70. I think this could be his lowest minutes over the last – his minutes have been getting better because he was called on to play 70 minutes last year, and I don't think he's going to actually play that this year.
Yeah.
Around 11, around 16, around 21 for his buys, which I don't think is very handy for you as well. Look, last year was his best year, and that's why he's 610,000. He did have a good year last year. Let's not forget about that. He was pretty solid last year for 58, and he was a really low price to start the year. So, unfortunately, this year he's priced at a maximum. There's no value there, and we're expecting him to trend down ever so slightly, but down nevertheless. He's too expensive to start. And you're hopeful that he'll get 70 minutes, but with those guys on the bench who are really competent hooker spelling people, I just don't see it. You would not be starting with him. And 0.8, it's got to be all Doggies fans. I wouldn't touch him. I'd be avoiding him hugely this year. Career year 58s are not people that you want to start your year with.
No. The very last player. I'm surprised we've managed to get it done under an hour and 20. I thought we'd be here for 2 hours. So I'm very, very surprised we've done it for an hour and 20. That is Sonny Luke. Are you surprised at 6.2% ownership? That seems a little high for me. I'm going to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, there's some good value players in there. You know, it is 200,000, isn't it?
That's the thing. That's his big benefit. But I don't know. I just think with all the value at hooker, I think we can probably skip on Sonny Luke. Last year, averaged 19.3. I mean, I had him pegged at 30, but now with the news of, you know, playing bigger minutes, maybe a 35. I mean, even that's like, it's not huge value. His buys are in round 3, round 13, round 19. In draft, I have him pegged as undrafted and probably not even worth a waiver pickup. The pros, obviously, are the price. A cheapie, one of the best teams in the comp, will always tempt people in. And with no clear stranglehold on the number 9 jersey, the minutes are up in the air and need to be taken by someone. And that's looking like it's going to be taken by Sonny Luke. Now, the cons, very similar to Kenny. I just don't see much upside. I just think there's much better options at discounted prices who present just much more value. 40 minutes max, maybe 40, 45 minutes max, which is, you know, 30 points. It's going to be a slow plod with not a whole lot going on for Sonny Luke.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I think that people are probably saying, you know, what if you get Boyd and he's averaging 40 and Sonny Luke's 200K cheaper? And because I'm going with Sonny Luke, I can go with Hines and Cleary in the halves. So people are probably looking at it in their build. And I know that Sonny Luke's value, ownership's gone up into 8.8. He's gone. There's probably Kenny people going to Sonny Luke.
Yeah.
He's not someone I want to go because I think there are some really in Boyd and in, and Cheese, there's some savings to be had in there. Just don't get too greedy, in my opinion. So, I'm going to be skipping Luke. I did float the idea of having him in there and getting that extra couple of hundred K, and you can do other good things in your team with that 200K, but we can play Cheese on us if we want to.
That's the thing. Like if you're picking Sonny Luke to get Hines, look at who your fourth reserve is then. Like, how much of a drop off is it? Like, that's what I'm looking at. But that is going to wrap up the very first position podcast. I've got no guarantee when these are going to be released, but I will make a promise to you that they will all be released by the Sunday before Teamless Tuesday. Mate, thank you so much for having me. A little bit more house cleaning to do. Our group code for the dual position podcast, 9888 13. And as always, this podcast and every podcast moving forward is sponsored by Bet with Joel, Australia's best and most trusted sports investment team. If that's something that you want to get into, please feel free to check out the website. I'll put some links in the description and some discount codes for you guys. Ado, mate, we're gonna be back with front row forwards. I've got a premium that somehow snuck his way into my side, and I don't know if that's gonna stay, but I'm sure we'll touch on
him. I've seen him going into a lot of people's teams. I'll go devil's advocate on those.
No, all good.
Get your one who's going to average the same for 200K cheaper. Ooh. But anyway, talk about front rowers on the next one.
Thank you so much. Hopefully you guys have appreciated these ones. As you can tell, a lot of research has gone into it, which has taken a little bit of time to get it out. But yeah, we're going to be doing these for all seven positions. Originally, Ado and I had planned to do some trial recaps. But I'm probably not going to have enough time to watch all the footy, so I'm not going to have the time. I think there's more value in these, you know, position podcasts.
Hopefully this has helped people think about Hooker a little bit more.
Hopefully this has helped people identify Jake Little as must-have come round 11.
Well, I mean, I'm thinking more Cheese and Boyd stuff, but yeah.
Jake Little. All right, mate, thank you so much for your time. Guys, thank you so much for sitting and listening to 80 minutes of pure dribble. We'll be back with front row forwards. I'm dreading doing the 2RFs because that one could be long. All right, guys, take care. Have fun. See ya.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.